Okay, so we're on Daf Ayin Chet tonight. So I'll begin two lines from the top, and Ayin Chet and Aleph. So and then I'll pick up a little bit on the Mishnah a little bit later. Okay, now we have a big daf today. I have to go a little bit quickly. I hope people will understand. Okay, so on the second line, Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Kohen Gadol ba'amana lokeshtayim. If a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, and we'll clarify whether it's Kiddushin B in a few minutes, but if he marries an Almana, Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana, but if he marries an Almana, he gets two sets of malkot. Achat mishum lo yikach. One, it says, Almanah grusha v'chalalah lo yikach. One is he transgressed the law of lo yikach. Lo yikach means don't marry. So lo yikach. V'achat mishum lo yichalel. One, he shouldn't profane her. This is lo yichalel zaro, because I'll understand that there's two lavim involved. One, he can't be mechalel the woman. In other words, when he has relations with somebody that's prohibited to him, he turns her into a chalala. So lo yichalel. So he did two lavim. So the Gemara says, why is he not also chayav lo yichal zaro? He shouldn't profane his zera. So we'll see in a minute. So Rabbi Yehuda says that he's talking about a case where he only began the sexual act. He didn't ejaculate. So he's not mechal zaro. If he would have ejaculated, then he would have been mechal zaro. And it means even whether you have kids or not, mechal zaro is to like insert the zera in the woman. Okay. So Matav Rava, so that's Rabbi Yehuda's din. So Rava asked the Shaila from the Mishnah Masechet Makot, which will be Daf Yomi in about a year from now. Now, if a Kohen Almanah grusha lokem mishum shnei shemot, the Mishnah says if a Kohen Gadol marries an Almanah who's also a grusha, so he's a Kohen Gadol, he's marrying an Almanah who's also a grusha, he's lokem mishum shnei shemot. He gets two sets of malkot. My love, shnei shemot, too long. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, for each woman that he is not supposed to have relations with, he's already chay of two sets of malkot. In other words, if a kohen has relations with a woman that he's prohibited to, he gets two sets of malkot. Yet the Mishnah in Masechet Makot says if a kohen gadol has relations with an almana who's also a grusha, that's like double problems. He can't marry an almana, he can't marry a grusha. So there, it says it's chayim shum shem shemot, like two sets of malkot, but it sounds like one set of a malkot for an almana, one set of malkot for a grusha. That contradicts what Rabbi Yehuda said. It should be really four, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, "Lo shnei shemot alzeh, shnei shemot alzeh." Now we misunderstood the Mishnah. The Mishnah means that he gets indeed. That's what the Mishnah means. So he gets two sets of malkot for an almana and two sets of malkot for a grusha. When it says shnei shemot, in Achinami, there's an almana and grusha, but for each one, he gets two sets of malkot. So the Gemara says, if that's the pshat in the Mishnah, let's go to the Sefer in the Mishnah and see if that works out well as well. Now, here it's talking about a Kohen head yod in the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Grusha v'chalutza eino chayav alahat. If a Kohen head yod marries a Grusha who's also a chalutza, so she was divorced and she also went through chalitza. So he's eino chayav alahat. He's only chayav one set of malkot, but we would expect him to be chayav. Well, he should be right. He should be chayav four. One for the two for the grusha, two for the chalutza. So hachi kamar. This is what the Mishnah means. Eino chayav ela alacha. He's only chayav for one of these two. Meaning chalutza is the rabbanon. He's only chayav for grusha and the chalutza. He's not chayav a set of malkot for chalutza. But the one that he's chayav for, he's chayav two sets of malkot. So indeed, nothing. Everything is construed in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda's halacha. So the Gemara says, "But chalutza the rabbanon." You mean the prohibition of a kohen to marry a chalutza? And again, a chalutza is a woman who, whose husband died, and then she went through chalitza. So it's not prohibited on a deraisa level, but it looks a lot like gerushin. So Chazal said a kohen shouldn't marry a chalutza. So he says, "But chalutza the rabbanon, and chalutza only the rabbanon." The Hatani, but during the deraisa, grusha. He says, the Kohen shouldn't marry Grusha. So Grusha, only on the Grusha, I only know the word Grusha. Chalutza minayin. How do I know that a Kohen is prohibited from marrying Chalutza? Tamon lomu v'isha, with a mapikei. And there was an extra word in the Pasuk. He says, it's another V'isha Grusha me isha lo yikahu. So he could say Isha Grusha. He says, Isha Grusha me isha, this divorce from her husband, lo yikahu. The word Isha. Bishag Grusha. In other words, no. Bishag Grusha Me Isha Me Isha. The second one. So the Gemara says Midrabanan Uchrasmat the Baalma. So notwithstanding that limud from the Brisa is a Drabanan, the Kra is just a remez to the Halacha. But indeed, Chalutza is Midrabanan. Okay, let's just let me just pause for a second, and let's just think over everything we just did, and then we'll clarify a little bit more. So we're saying if a kohen has relations with a woman, then he's a kohen gadol or a regular kohen. He has relations with a woman, that he's prohibited. He's kind of two sets of malkot for each woman that he's prohibited. So the kohen gadol marries an almana. He's got one set of malkot for lo yitach and one set of malkot for lo yichaleel, and the same thing would be true with the kohen hadyot who marries a grusha. He's one set chayav one set of malkot for lo yitach and another set of malkot for lo yichaleel. And then if he has relations with her, he's chayav another set of full relations with her. He's chayav another set of malkot for lo yichaleel zaro. Okay, who's the questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Right, let me go on. Now the Gemara says, I'll pause when we get to the two dots at the third white line. So Amar Abaye, now the Gemara gets up. When is he chayav? When he does kiddushin? When he has bia? How does this work up? We said the two malkot. Now we said one set of malkot is because he had with the kohen gadol, or the kohen hedyot, whoever with the one. One is lo yikach. He's married. Lo yikach means to marry, to do erusin, and this is lo yichaleel. That's to have relations with her. So when does he get all the malkot? So Amar Abaye, kidei shlokeh. The Bais says when he's Mekadesh, the woman that's prohibited to him, he gets one set of Malkot, Ba'al Loke. And then when he has relations with her, he gets another set of Malkot. Kidesh Loke Mishum Lo Yikach. When he is Mekadesh her, he gets a set of Malkot because says Lo Yikach. Ba'al Loke Mishum Lo Yichalel. When he's Boel her, he is Lo Yichalel. Rava Amar, Ba'al Loke, Lo Ba'al Inu Loke. Rava says, no, nothing happens till he has Bia with her, meaning, if a kohen, whether he's a kohen gadol or a kohen hedyot, if he's marrying somebody that's prohibited to him, he doesn't get any sets, any malko till he has relations with her. Then when he has relations with her, then bang, 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 everything happens. He says, now the Gemara, like in essence, the Gemara is saying, my timing here. The Torah says lo yikach, and it says lo yichalel, meaning lo yichalel, he shouldn't profane her. Ma tam lo yikach, mishum lo yichalel. Why is he not allowed to take the woman because of Lo Yichaleel? Meaning, it's like a pyramid; it's all built up on Lo Yichaleel. He shouldn't defile her, but it has to culminate with her defilement. So that's only with the sexual relations. Okay, so that's the machloket Abaye v'Rava. Again, Abaye says he's chayav for one set of malchut when he gets married, another set of malchut when he has relations with her. Rava says he's not chayav anything until he has relations with her. And Rav Levi was talking today. I think he was quoting from the Tosfos Rush. It sounds like from here that Rava has to hold that what is it? That hatrat safek is hatra. In other words, when he ha in other words, according to Rava, let's say he's mekadesh the woman that he's prohibited to him. So to get malkot, he needs hatra warning. So the Edom have to say you should know that if you end up having relations with her, you'll be chayav a set of malkot for getting married to her now. So, but they don't know if he's going to have relations with her when he does the erusin. And yet Rava holds that he will get malkot. So you have to say hatrat safek is hatra, according to Rava. Okay, so now let's see back on the Gemara, three lines of book gets wide. Now, Abaye says each element is separate by itself. Moda Abaye, but Abaye is Moda. He agrees with Rava in a certain case. What's the case? Grushato. This is not talking about a kohen, a regular Bar Yisrael, any Jew. If he divorces his wife, then the wife marries somebody else, and then that marriage terminates either through death or a divorce. So there's a law in the Torah to remarry her. But let's say he remarries her. So Moda Abaye Masi Grushato Shem Lo Baal. There, Abaye agrees. Abaye normally says you get the Mekadesh, you're chayav one set of malkot. You have bia, you're chayav another set of malkot. But machzir grushato, Abaye agrees, nothing clicks in until he has relations with her. Kenuloke, why l'kachtali o'lisha marachmana. It says luyuchal bala harishon asher shilcha, her first husband that sent her away, that divorced her, can't take her back. L'shuv l'kachto acharei asher tu hutama liot lo leisha. He can't take her back. Liot lo leisha. B is his wife. So if B is his wife, let's look at Rashi on this. Umoda Abaye on the right side of the Rashi. Avagav the mechayim malchut of kedushin beisur kahuna. Ahu duchal chadla ba'am pei nafshei. Lo takzuv b'zeh b'zeh b'feirish. Aval Yisrael amachzir grusha tomishinisei lacher. But it's armalon garsha. Avagav lo yuchal l'shub l'kachto. Even though it says he can't remarry, l'kachta, it says lo yuchal l'shuv l'kachta, he can't marry her. Then it was Harish Lo Yikatshena, Modu Hudin Alokeh, Achi Ba'el, the Behedi Thal Rachman Akushin Babia. It says, then the next Rashi, Lechatali Olisha, the Kimit Akihahu, Yushin Lilisha, Isha Shobia Kamar. So he's Modu, you don't get any Malko until you have relations with her. And then on the first wide line in the Gemara, Umoda Rava, Rava who says each one is separate, you get a separate set of Malko, he's Modu Rava, the Kohen Gadol Ba'almana, that if a Kohen Gadol has relations with Amana, she Baal below Kadesh. Let's say, in other words, Rava normally holds, you get one set of Malkot for the Kiddushin, one set of Malkot for the, excuse me, I
No,
didn't say right.
Rava.
You're right. Rava says you get the whole enchilada is with the Bia. When the Bia, then I get all the sets of Malkot. So, but Rava will agree, if a Kohen Gadol, so if I just do Kiddushin alone, no Malkot. So, but Rava will agree if I have, if the Kohen Gadol has Bia with the Amana, that he does get a set of Malkot.
Was that Kiddushin?
Without Kiddushin. The says, Zaro Ba'amav, Hilel. Here he means he did profane her, is what he means. In other words, he profaned her, he made her a chalala. Ushnei both Abaye Rav agree, the Matzir Grushato, Shim Ba'al V'lo Kidesh, by Matzir Grushato, they both agree that if he had relations with her and he didn't do Kiddushin with his former wife, She'eno Lokeh. Directly, Kuchen Asra Torah. In other words, the Torah is saying it's got to be a package. L'takta lo le'isha, that he has to take her to be a wife. Now, the only thing is, though, I think, is it one set of Malkot? Let me just need to make sure about this. If he's Matzir Grushato, one second, let me just double check this. One second. One second. One second. One second. Right. It's separate. Yeah, it's only one set of Malkot. Right. Well, you could say for the Lakicha and the Bia. In other words, just like we did by the other one, but it's one set of Malkot, Matzir, Grushato. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, I'm going to move on. All right. Now we're on the fourth wide line on Ayin Chet Amud Aleph. Let's just refresh our recollections from the Mishnah that you had yesterday, okay? So the Mishnah yesterday spoke about a halal, but it also spoke about the prohibition for a Kohen to marry the daughter of a Ger. So the Mishnah had three opinions. The Tanna Rabbi Yehuda said, Bat Ger is Zachar, Bat Halal Zachar. If the father is a Ger, in other words, the Kohen falls in love with this girl, if her father's a Ger, it's prohibited according to the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, because the girl is a din of like the chalala. Okay, right. Okay, but if the mother's a giyor, you could. And then Reb Lezvin Yaakov said that as long as only one parent is a ger or a giyor, you're fine. As long as the other parent is a bar Yisrael, then the shidduch is good. Then the Gemara quoted a third opinion. Reb Yossi said that even if the ger marries a giyor, the daughter is kasher lakuna, according to Rabbi Yossi. Okay? So we have three opinions. Each one gets more chamor than the other. Rabbi Yehuda was the most chamor, Rabbi Lezvin Yaakov next, and then Rabbi Yossi was the most lean. Okay? So let's see, back in the Gemara, we'll do the Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, if the father's a ger, the daughter cannot marry a kohen. Rabbi Yehuda mayor bat ger zachar kibat halal. Tani, now the Gemara's going to quote a brisa where we're going to deal through the limud, how the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, derives his conclusion that a bat ger zachar is prohibited to a kohen. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bat ger zachar kibat halal zachar. Rabbi Yehuda says the daughter of a male convert is like the daughter of a halal. He says, v'hadin notein, and here's the key, that logically we can arrive at this conclusion. How? Ma halal shabamiti kachera. Now, a halal comes from a tipa. Let's say a person's a halal, his father was a kohen, his mother's a grusha, but he comes from a tipa, meaning his father, is a bar Yisrael. There's nothing wrong with the father per se. Sula. But nevertheless, so the halal comes from a tipa, but the daughter of the halal is psula to marry a kohen. Ger shabami tipa psula, a ger, it seems to be worse because he comes from a tipa psula, meaning his parents weren't Jewish. So he comes from a tipa psula, in addition to bito psula. So in other words, if the daughter of a halal can't marry a kohen, and the halal came from a tipa kshera, certainly the daughter of a ger came from a tipa psula, can't marry kohen. But then, that's the lemur. Then
Well,
my, we're talking about the daughter of a halal, the daughter of a halal, and we're talking about the daughter of a ger. The daughter of a halal is a halal. All right? Are we on the same page?
it's a father's a gift,
Right.
mother is Jewish,
Right.
daughter is halal. Talking about that daughter.
The daughter is prohibited to kohen. She has a din like a halala. A din like a halala. Okay? So he wants to say that just like we see by a halal, his daughter cannot marry a kohen. And the halal came from a tipa kshera. The father came from a tipa kshera because his father was a kohen. So the ger, who didn't come from a tipa kshera because his father wasn't Jewish or whatever, his parents weren't Jewish, so certainly his daughter can't marry a kohen. So then the brisa continues, Mala halal, shkin yisir to baveira. Yeah, but halal is worse because his yitzira was baveira. In other words, he came from a tipa kshera, but he's the result of a prohibited union because his father married, let's say, a grusha. So and so the so but the ger they both, you know, he converted to Judaism, he married this woman, so it was fine. There was a like so kohen gadol ba'amana yochiyach. So kohen gadol with an amana will prove that that's irrelevant. She'ein yitzirah to ba'aveira, the kohen gadol with the amana, the yitzirah of the kohen gadol is not ba'aveira. He says bito psula, but bito is still psula. In other words, so the halal, which is the father, came out through an aveira. In other words, was created through an aveira. But the kohen gadol was not created through an aveira, and his daughter's less psula. So we're learning from again. So we're trying to learn out the case of the ger case. We're learning it from a halal and the kohen gadol with an almana. So the halal's daughter is prohibited to marry the kohen, and the kohen gadol's daughter with the almana is prohibited to marry the kohen. So mala kohen gadol almana, she can be a toba veira. Yeah, but the kohen gadol the almana, he's doing an aveira by, you know, having the union with the almana. So halal yochia. So halal will prove that it's irrelevant because the halal has relations with his wife, and that's no aveira, and nevertheless the offspring is prohibited. The chazar adin lo rizek rize, each one, so the kohen gadol and the halal are not the same as one another. The thing they have in common, they're not like most of the kahal, which is a problem with them that most of the kohalis don't have. Avaniyavira, so I'm going to bring the ger, she'enu kahal, he's very different than the roba kahal, ubito. So again, so we think, just like the daughter of the halal can't marry a kohen, she's a halal. The daughter of the halal is a halal, she can't marry the kohen. And the daughter of the kohen gadol with the almana can't marry the kohen. So you want to say, so too the daughter of the ger cannot marry a kohen. Okay, that's the lineage. So the Gemara says, Mala tzadashun tkeni from tzadaveira. Yeah, but with both of those sads, whether it's the halal or the kohen gadol with the almana, there's an aveira involved with that. In other words, with halal, his parents did the aveira. With the kohen gadol almana, he did the aveira, but there's an aveira on both sides. The ger, there's no aveira there. He's a nice guy. He converted to Judaism, married a nice Jew, and there was no aveira there. So the Gemara says, revises the limud, or Rabbi Yehuda does. Lo tamek for bringing the gadol almana yochia. Don't say a kohen gadol almana will prove it, and we're leaving the kohen gadol almana out of the situation. Elaim a mitzri rishon yochia. We're going to have Mitzri Rishon. Let's say a person's a Mitzri, he converts to Judaism, and he marries a woman who's a Mitzri Rishona, and they have a Shidduch. So they're allowed to marry one another, yet their offspring is prohibited not only to Kohanim, but to all of Klal Yisrael. So he says, so there's no Aveira, but the offspring is prohibited. He says, Mala Mitzri Rishon, Shekhinah, Kal. Yeah, the Mitzri Rishon is true, the offspring can't come a Kal, but the Mitzri Rishon himself can come a Kal. So Kal you'll hear. So Kal will prove the halal could marry in Klal Yisrael, but his offspring is still prohibited. So we're trying to learn the ger. We're going to learn from the halal and the mystery Rishon. So the halal, his daughter cannot marry a kohen, and he came from a tipa kshera, but the daughter can't marry the kohen. But on the other hand, though, the halal has an aveira in his pocket because his parents committed an aveira in creating him. But the Gemara says, well, Mitzri Rishon will prove that that's irrelevant. So Mitzri Rishon, there's no aveira on his side, and his offspring can't marry in the halal there either. But the Mitzri Rishon he's prohibited to marrying within Klal Yisrael totally. He's like globally prohibited from marrying Klal Yisrael. So Chal will prove that's irrelevant. The Chal can marry within Klal Yisrael, but the Austrian can't. The Chazar again, the Rizek is there. So the thing that they both have, i.e., the Chalal and the Mitzvah Rishon, in a Amrov Kahal, they're prohibited. They're not like most of Klal Yisrael, Ubito Psula. So now the word says, but I'm going to ask a kasha against the Bamehatzah. Yeah, but the Chalal and the Mitzvah Rishon, Pasal Derbiyah, meaning anyone the Chalal, if the Chalal has relations with a woman, so then she's pasul to the kuna. If the Mitzvah Rishon has relations with a woman, then she becomes pasul to the kuna. But the ger won't pasul the woman, we think, if he has relations with her. So for Rabbi Huda, not ger nami pasul biyato. No, Tan Rabbi Huda, and that's what we're talking about. Rabbi Huda, he holds that a ger does pasul with his biya. In other words, so everything pasul with his biya. And he learns it from the same din. In other words, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, Gufa, a ger will passel a woman with his bia, and he learns it out from this din. If the halal passels with his bia, and the Mitzvah Rishon passels with his bia, the ger also will passel with his bia. And then so that's taken out. So we have a limud again. So according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, if the father's a ger, the daughter cannot marry a kohen. That's the yesod. If the father's a ger, the daughter cannot marry the kohen. Where does he know the din from? So the Gemara says he has bameh hatzad. He learns it from halal and from mitzri rishon. So the halal, his offspring, cannot marry a kohen, and so mistama the ger also. And even though the halal came from a tipa kshera, but the offspring can't marry a kohen. So the ger who came from a tipa psula, because his parents were not Jewish. Certainly his daughter can't marry a Kohen. Yeah, but the Chalal has an Aveira in his pocket. His parents committed an Aveira. So the Mitzvah Rishon will prove the fact that the Aveira is irrelevant, because the Mitzvah Rishon is not doing an Aveira. He's marrying a Mitzvah Rishona, and his daughter can't marry a Kohen. So, but the Mitzvah Rishon, he can't marry anybody in Klal Yisrael. But the Chalal will prove that that's irrelevant, because the Chalal can marry other people in Klal Yisrael, and his daughter is prohibited. Anyway, so the Gemara ends up learning that according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that if a person's father is a ger, the daughter cannot marry a kohen. Okay, who's your questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right, I'm gonna move on then. Okay, let's see what. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah we had three opinions, right? So according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the father is a ger. The daughter cannot marry a kohen. According to the Tana of Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, if the father or the mother is a ger, the daughter could marry a kohen as long as both parents are not gerim. And according to the last opinion in the Mishnah, which is Reb Yossi, even if both parents are gerim, the daughter could marry a kohen. Then we're going to learn a fourth opinion, which was not in the Mishnah. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov omer a ger, Tani Reb Shimon Yochai omer, Yoreh pechutin bat shloshin and yomachak shir Reb Kuna. So, we were talking about the offspring of a ger. Can the daughter of a ger marry a kohen? And then we had, according to the Rebbe Yehuda, if the father's a kohen, you can. But if the mother was a Gioret and the father of Rei Israel, then they could. And then we had Reb Lezer ben Yaakov said, if one parent is a ger, they can marry. But nobody says the ger himself can marry a kohen. Now we're learning Rishon Bar Yochai says a Gioret herself can marry a kohen if she converted below the age of three. He says, if she converts below the age of three, she is kasha lakuna. So when they have Mohammed Midian and Parshat Matod, so Moshe Rabbeinu says that all the young girls you can keep alive. Pinchas is one of the people going to Melchama, and we see that he was allowed to. We think the Taf, we think it's the young girls. The Rabbanan, the Chachamim, means the Tanayim in our Mishnah, who don't hold that way. It means you keep them alive to be avadim to you, not as wives. Now that's the end of the Brisa. The Gemara says, "V'kulan mikracha darshu." So all the four Tanayim that we discussed, the three in our Mishnah and Rishon Bar Yochai, they all darshan the same pasuk in Yechezkel. The three Tanaim in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is the fourth Tana. So all the Tanaim, they all darshan the same Pasuk, which we're going to do right now. It says in Yechezkel, Amanat Bushar lo yichud lehem rashim, ki b'tzlot mizera beit Yisrael. It's talking apparently about the Kohen Gadol. So they can't marry an Almana or a Grusha, only betulot mizera beit Yisrael, virgins mizera beit Yisrael of the Jewish nation. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, it calls Zera Yisrael. Tan Rabbi Yehuda holds that kol Zera means the whole Zera is from the male. But the father has to be a Jew. He can't be a convert. That's the way kind of Rabbi Yehuda learns. He says, Rabbi Shlezer ben Yaakov Savar, mizera filo mixat Zera. Even if the mother is a mixat Zera, even if the father is a ger, but even if the mother's Jewish, so one parent is Jewish, they could marry the Kohen, means that Zera Beit Yisrael, in other words, the primary Zera is the father, but and the secondary Zera is the mother. The way Rav Shechter was saying to me today is like, we usually trace Yichus through the father, but even if the mother was a native-born Jew and the father was a Ger, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that still qualifies as Zera Beit Yisrael, Mixat Zera. Rashi learns that the mother is like Zera Kafush. Rav Yossi Savar, Yishin Zeru B'Yisrael. Rav Yossi holds that as long as they were Jewish at the time that the child was conceived, in other words, at the time the planting took place, in other words, even if the father's a ger and the mother's a giyoret, according to the Tanna Rav Yossi, it still qualifies as Zera Beit Yisrael. In other words, at the time that the seeding, like imagine like a field and you plant the field. So at the time the child was conceived, the parents were Jewish, that still qualifies as Zera Beit Yisrael. Rav Shimon Yochai Savar, Mishin Zeru B'Tulav Yisrael. Zeru B'Tulav Yisrael, Shirashi takes it that if you have, or it's based on Chazal, that if a child below the age of three, B'Tulotei Chozrot, her B'Tulim grow back if they're broken, they grow back. So as long as it like grows back when she's like a Jewish woman, which would be below the age of three, so she's postured to be a wife. Okay or not? All right, I don't have a lot of time to go over again and again. Tell me what the problem is. Okay, I'm going to repeat this once more, and then you have to listen to the recording after this, okay? Okay, so we have four opinions in the Mishnah about whether... Okay, so let's go through it again. According to the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, if the father is a ger, the daughter cannot marry a Kohen. So the Pasuk says in Yechezkel... This is Kim Betulot Mizera Beit Yisrael. They have to be Betulot. The girls have to be Betulot Mizera Beit Yisrael. So Tan Rabbi Yehuda holds, if the father's a ger, that's not Zera Beit Yisrael. The father gives a Zera. The father was not a native-born Jew. It's not Zera Beit Yisrael. That's how Rabbi Yehuda learns it. And then the Tan Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov learns that the mother also could be some Zera. So even if the mother is a native-born Jew, and the father is the ger, that's also Zera Beit Yisrael. And then Rabbi Yossi holds Zera Beit Yisrael means as long as when the child was conceived, the parents were Jewish, even if the father's a ger, the mother's a giyoret, it's still Zera Beit Yisrael. The child was conceived as a Jew, right? And then the fourth opinion holds Zera Beit Yisrael, that as long as the betulot are chozer, he says, Michin Nizru betulot of Yisrael. The betulot were... like, or even, like, grow back when she's in Israel. And Louis Chazal teaches us that the betulot grow back below the age of three, so it still counts. Okay. Now, I'm going
to
read Rav.
So, Rabbi, according to this opinion, a Kohen can marry a girl who converted before three.
Correct. Okay, now, bottom line. I'm going to read Rav and the Rava, Haikra, Reisha, Bekohen Dol, Besef, Bekohen Hedyot. So, this Pasuk in Yechezkel seems very strange. The beginning of the Pasuk seems to talk about the Kohen Gadol. The end of the Pasuk talks about Kohen Hedyot. We didn't quote the end of the Pasuk yet, but the end of the Pasuk is quoted later on in this column around the seventh line. The end of the Pasuk says, V'ha'amanasha t'ya almanami Kohen yichu yikahu. That the almana, that they'll marry an almana, we'll talk about it, but that sounds like the Kohen Hedyot. But it sounds odd. It begins with the Kohen Gadol and ends up with the Kohen Hedyot. So Amar Leh, so this is what Rav Nachman says to Rava. So Amar Leh, so Rava says, in, absolutely. So he says, Vakata Praha. I think we see where the Pasuk, you know, do you see another Pasuk like this where it's jumping from topic to topic in the same Pasuk? He says, Amalei in. He says, we do. He quotes the Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. V'ner Elokim Terech Nishbeh, V'Shmuel Shokhei Beheichal Hashem. It means the menorah had not gone out, and Shmuel was lying down in the Heichal Hashem in Shiloh. V'lo, in Yeshiva Azar L'malchi B'Davi B'Vad. There's no Yeshiva in the base of the Mikdash. except for Malchi Beit David. Shmuel was not Malchi Beit David. He was a Levi. He wasn't from Malchi Beit David. So how was he lying down the Heichal Hashem? And Elanir looking from Yechbeh Beheichal Hashem. It was, we're going to like cut and paste this pasuk. We're going to say when it says Shochei Beheichal Hashem, it's talking about Ner Lokim Kerem Yefeh Beheichal Hashem. In other words, the menorah had not gone out. And then a separate clause is Shmuel Shochei Bekomo. Shmuel is in his own makom. But we see in the same pasuk, things are mixed up together. One is talking about one thing, and one's talking about another thing. You know, one thing that Rabbi Leibowitz is mentioning is a question, I think he said that the, I think, is it, one of the notes that Caleb, maybe the Mishnah Lamelech has, is the Easter of Yeshiva and the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, is that Doraisa or Durabana? So he says this is a proof that it must be Doraisa, because if it were Durabana, the Gemara could just say Shmuel's living before the time of the Durabana, so he couldn't lie down to Heichal Hashem. So there's a Braya that's prohibited on a Doraisa level. Okay, let me just get to the two dots, then we'll pause with these more questions, okay? So a line seven on Ayin Chen of Beis. Now, the end of the pasuk that we mentioned above says, V'almanah tiyeh almanah mikwein yikahu. The almana, we think it means if the woman's a widow, her husband was a kohen, so the kohenim can marry her. In other words, the widow of a kohen, the kohenim can marry her. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, mikohenim Yisrael lo, so a kohen can only marry a widow from another kohen. He can't marry a widow from Israel. So this is haki tamar. The Gemara says, no, this is what the pasuk means. Mikohen yikahu. Mishar Kohenim Yikahu means, doesn't mean Almana mi Kohen, it's Almana pause mi Kohen Yikahu. In other words, if the woman is an Almana, then the Kohenim could marry her. Not that she's an Almana of a Kohen, but if she's an Almana from any Almana from any person, any Jew, the Kohenim are going to be the ones who can acquire her as a wife. Tani Nami Hafu, you learn a Bryce that supports that shot, mi Kohen Yikahu, Mishar Kohenim Yikahu. It means the other Kohenim could marry her. Rabbi Yehuda has a different shot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Menamasim Lekuhuna Yikahu. It means that if her first husband was among those who could marry off their daughters to a Kohen, then the Almana could also be married to a Kohen. In other words, if the husband was such that his daughter would have been eligible to marry a Kohen, his Almana could also marry a Kohen, which we'll explain shortly. Rabbi Yehuda Ta'ame, Rabbi Yehuda goes like the sheep. The Amar, Bat Ger Zafar, Kabat Halal Zafar. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, the daughter of a Ger is like the daughter of a Halal. And then he holds, Kol Shatano Se Bito, Atano Se Amunuto. If you can marry his daughter, you can marry his Almana. Kol Shatano Se Bito, Yatano Se Amunuto. If you can't marry his daughter, you can't marry his Almana. So the way he darshans the Pasuk, let's see the Rashi on this. One second. Yeah, minamasim lakuna. In the Rashi, amanan adam shuila hasibi to lakuna yikahu. In other words, so the pasuk is saying that they can marry the almana if the husband was such that he could have married his daughter tukuna. Let me use the amanat ger. The Rabbi Yehuda Tami, Daman Leal, the Ayri Cheskel Asmachta, Babat Ger Zachar, the Timi Zera Beit Yisrael, called Zera Bahai Kra Orilan Asmachta, the Postal Isha of Biato. So, Rabbi Yehuda learned the Pasuk earlier like this. Rabbi Yehuda learned, Kim Betulot Mizera Beit Yisrael, that the Kohen Gadol, has to marry Betulot Mizera Beit Yisrael. In other words, he has to marry Betula, whose father was a full-fledged Jew. Mizera Beit Yisrael. The father was a full-fledged Jew. So now he's saying, and as far as the other Kohenim marrying an Almana, they also have to marry an Almana from somebody who is a full-fledged Jew, not a Ger. In other words, so that's the connection to the Pasuk. Beginning of the Pasuk says, the Ger's daughter can't marry a Kohen Gadol, and the end of the Pasuk is saying, the Ger's Almana can't marry a Kohen. It's got to be, you know, like a garden variety Jew. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, I'm going to move on. All right, now, everybody with me, we're at the two dots.
The second half, regular Kohen.
Right. In other words, you want to divide the prey. In other words, it says Amanah Gusha Lo Yekula Hemen Hashem. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that sounds a little bit rough. In other words, Amanah Gusha Lo Yekula can't take. In other words, you're talking about two different people. The way it's coming out. All right. Let's take a look back in the Gemara now. At the two dots, Rabbi Yossi Meir of Ger Shasag Yorah. Rabbi Yossi says that even if a Ger marries a Yorah, the offspring can marry a Kohen. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Hamnuna Mishmei de Ula Halach Rabbi Yossi." So Rav Hamnuna says, "Let him Ula the Halach is like Rabbi Yossi." He says, "V'chena Mar Rabbi Borachan Halach is Rabbi Yossi." But the but is the key thing. Yom Shachar Beit Hamikdash Nagu Kohenim Silsil Ba'atzban. From time of the Korban Beis Hamikdash, the Kohenim have adopted a stringency to Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. So Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says one of the parents has to be a native-born Jew. So the father could be a Ger and the mother is a native-born Jew. Or the mother could be a Giora and the father's a native-born Jew. But if both parents are Gerim, that's the problem. So he says, Amar Nachman, Amar Lihuna, Bali Malech, Moran Lok, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. So Reb Nachman said that Reb Huna said to me, if a Kohen comes to consult and ask what to do, so I would say the law is like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. You know, let's say he fell in love with this girl and both parents are Gerim. So we say the law is like, don't go. The law is like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. Nasa, but if he went ahead and he married this girl, so then we wouldn't force him to divorce her because the halacha ultimately follows with Reb Yossi. That even if the father's a ger and the mother's a gioret, we're going to leave it or leave it alone. Okay? Okay. Let's just review a little bit with this with halal and everything else. So the idea again with the coin with halal, let's say you have a coin, a grusha, you know, a coin that marries a grusha. So the son is a halal. Now, that son's son is also a halal, and that grandson is a halal, and the great grandson is a halal, and the great great grandson's a halal. That goes on in the male side forever. On the female side, it only goes down till the final. In other words, no, that's not correct. In other words, if the great great grandson who's a halal has a daughter, that daughter's a halala. That daughter's a halala. But let's say the Kohen marries the Grusha and he has a boy and a girl, the girl's a Kalala, but then if the Kalala marries, you know, like a regular Jew, the offspring would not be a Kalala. Okay, that would be that way it would work. And then what?
Is the boy or not? There's no way to.
No. He's
forever or.
That's it. He's a Kalala. Okay, now, and then again, the halal. Okay, so let me leave it at that point. Okay, now let's go back to the next Mishnah and we'll take it up. Okay, everybody good? Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, good. Okay, next Mishnah. Ready? Okay. Manitin, Ha'omer b'nize mamzer eino neman. If a person says, my son is a mamzer, he has no nemanos to testify concerning his son. He said, Narashi says, the karov who is lobe no kasher la idolav. He's a karov. Obviously, he can be more karov than the father with the son. He's not kasher to give testimony concerning the son. He says, Vafilu shneim modim ala ubar shmeyeha mamzer hu enam nemanim. Even if both parents agree that the child in utero is a mamzer, so then that's not enough to establish that the child is a mamzer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ne'emanim. Rabbi Yehuda is Ne'emanim, but it'll come out in the Gemara. He's going to mean that the father has Ne'emanus in both of these instances, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Mai Vafilu Shneim. What does it mean, Vafilu Shneim? In other words, the first case of the Mishnah is you have a child who's 10 years old. So the Tana of the Mishnah says the father is not Ne'eman to say he's a mamzer. So, and then the next case is that the child's in utero. And even if they both say he's not Ne'eman. So what is the Chiddush of the second case in the Mishnah? He says, Loma Bai Kamar, goes without saying, Loma Bai Ihu Lo Kimle, it goes without saying the father, who can't know with certainty whether the child is a mamzer or not, he says, Ela Afilu Ihi, but even she, the mother, the Kimla, who does know the status of the offspring, Lo Mehemna, is not believed. So that's one Chiddush. So one element is that the mother is not believed either. And then the second element is, not only where the child, if the child is growing, let's say he's 10, so there's a chazak of kashrus. Nobody has raised an issue for the first 10 years of his life. So there was a presumption that he's not a mamzer. And now you're from the Belt of Ryan, you're bringing up this issue, so the father is not believed to upset the chazaka. But even an ubar who has no cheskas kashrus, he's still not believed to establish that he's a mamzer. Okay. Any questions, comes to us on anything we did so far? What do you got? Wait. Fern's got a question. I'll get to you. Let me see.
What is the reasoning behind this?
Yeah. So we gave one reason. We said that is that he, the father, is not kasher to give aides concerning the son, and the mother also is not a kasher aid. So that's why, and it's also the father's, you know, karov aid to the son. So that's why they're not Naaman. They're not Naaman.
Right, so it's right. Really a technicality because she has the information, but it's because she can't be a kosher aide that she doesn't have their manus to corroborate him.
Neither, because he doesn't have
the facts and she doesn't have the qualification. That's really the answer, right?
That sounds correct. One second.
Okay.
One second.
Look, I'm happy for the kid.
Great. That's what I'm going to go with.
I'll tell him.
Wait. Let me get Daniel, then I'll get you. What do you got for me, Daniel? Wait, let me put you on TV. Go ahead.
That they found that he was a mamzer, and they had to find a way for him to be able to come back to the Kalakim by going and buying a shifra and freeing her, he grew up as a normal Jew, didn't know anything, and at some point they came and told him. So based on that, how were they able to come and should they have a chazakah of not being a mamzer?
How did they establish that he was mamzer? I don't know what the facts were that case.
So what is the way?
If you have Adam who saw them being dishonored with each other, that would be good Adam. Anyway, now the actually, I had a chavrusa years ago. He said there was a case. He said in Lakewood, this is a slightly different case. It came out that somebody, it turned out that he wasn't Jewish, and so he thought he'd convert to Judaism right away. And then one of his rabbis said, why don't you think it through before you do it? And he thought it through and decided not to convert to Judaism. Anyway, all right, let's see back.
These two that are saying are...
It's a good question. Well, today I was talking to Rav Schechter about, remember we had a case last week where the woman said that in the story with the Daf Digest, she said I had relations with somebody else. And the husband didn't believe her and they had the daughter. Yeah. Remember we had the case. So I spoke to Rav Schechter. He said there are six answers to that question. And I don't know what the six answers are, but he said there are six answers about why the wife, it sounds like a strong question, because if the wife says I was Mazana, it sounds like she should be. He quoted someone who said that the wife should make it sounds like that the husband doesn't have to rely on the wife, but the wife, you know, it's like Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Disur. So one, he quoted, I think it was Rav Shach, somebody said that the wife should make his life miserable, so he wants to divorce her, but I don't know. All right, let me go. With the woman. All right, that's it. Okay, now let me see back from the Gemara. Let me just finish back and we'll open up the floor for more discussion. Okay, now Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ne'emanim. Rabbi Yehuda says Ne'emanim. Now, when Rabbi Yehuda says Ne'emanim, he means the father is Ne'eman in both instances. So the father's Ne'eman, even after the boy is 10 years old, to say that he's a mamzer, and he's Ne'eman when the boy's in utero to say that he's a mamzer. Kidatani, the Gemara quotes a braisa. Yakir, Yakirenu la'achirim. So it says, Ki ha'bechor ben asnua yakir, that a father, Yakir, he'll recognize the bechor, but he learns out, Yakirenu la'achirim, he'll declare to other people. So from here, Rabbi Yehuda says, a person has nemanas to say, this is my son, he's a bechor. Tachneman Adam Lamar, Zeben Grusha, Zeben Chalutza. He's also Neman to say that my son is a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. So, according to the Tanya Rebbe Yehuda, any declaration that the father makes concerning the son is Noveya from the sin of Yakir. So, the father does have Nehemanis. All right, but the Gemara is deriving from here that just like Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, you could also say Mamzer. But Chachamim Omrim, Eino Neman. The Chachamim say with Bakor, yeah, that's fine, but it's not Neman, it's the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Rava, Yishleim Rav Yehuda Hainu Dachtiv Yakir. So according to the Tanya Rav Yehuda, I understand why I need the word Yakir, meaning Yakir is there not to teach me about the Bakor. Yakir is there to teach me that the father is Neman to say he's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. El Rabbanan, but according to the Chachamim, the father is only believed to say about the Bechor. El Rabbanan, Yakir Lamali. Why do we need Yakir? He says, in other words, it's going to be clear, one second, it's going to be clear that a father, in other words, one second. Yeah, he says the identity of the firstborn son is a known fact, even without the father's testimony. He says that everybody knows who the firstborn son is, so it's superfluous. Okay, let's see if we're back in the Gemara. He says, El Rabbanan Yakir Lamali, Bitzarech Hakeira. Bitzarech Hakeira, he says that I need it for the Bakor. Let's say the person comes from Dinat Hayam. Let's say the father travels with his family from France and he shows up. Nobody knows who's who, what's what. So then that's why the Chachamim say, I need Yakir. The father will declare who the firstborn son is. So the Gemara says, L'mai Hilchata. So for what halakha would the father be declaring his son of Bakor? Latet lo pishnayim, to give him the double portion. Says Pshita, Lamali, why don't you pasuk for that? Yigo dibai meifalei matana, in other words, milo yahavilei. So let's say the father want to give a lifetime gift to one son. Could he not do that? So, in other words, he's declaring the son to be Bakor. And it will flow from that at his death, the Bakor will be entitled to Pishnaim in the estate. But the Gemara wants to say, why do we need a pasuk to teach me that? Isn't it like Neman with Amigo? In other words, if I wanted to give my son, this son, twice the amount of the other sons, I could make a lifetime, an inter vivos gift now. So if I could do that now, certainly I should be Neman to say that he's my Bakor. Because in other words, right. So the Gemara says, no, b'nechasim shenaflu la'achar mitan. I would need it for property, let's say after he makes the declaration. Let's say he gets other property that comes down the pike after he makes the declaration. So he would only be Neman on the property he has right now, not on after acquired property. So that's why I need the Yakir. So he says, Rav Meir de Amar da Machlan de Bar Shlobali Olam Yakir Lamali. According to the Tanya Rav Meir, a person can be Machlan de Bar Shlobali Olam. I could even transfer something that is not yet in the world yet. So I could transfer property that I don't have yet, according to the Tanya Rav Meir. Though we limited it, remember, with like Peirut Ledekel, like Fern knows. Okay, like Peirut Ledekel, but the person could transfer things not yet in the world. So Mela, I don't need a Pasuk to teach me that even for the property that he's going to acquire afterwards, that he gets Pishnayim. So the Gemara says, so Yakir Lamali, Shinach Lo Chugoseis. He needs it for the property that he acquires when he's on his deathbed, in his death throes. So there, he cannot transfer property when he's in a state of Goseis. So either it means that he can't transfer property because he's not in the right mental state, or as a halakhic matter, he's not in a position to transfer property when he's a goseis. But either way, that's what he needs the akir for. Okay, let's go over again. It will repeat. Okay, so the Tanya again. So according to the Chachamim, a father has no nemanis to declare the son of Bechor. In the Chachamim, the Mishnah, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda says that the father is neman. I didn't say right. Let me go back. I take that back. With the mamzer, according to the Chachamim, the father is not Neman to say the son is a mamzer, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, the father is Neman to say he's a mamzer. So how does Rabbi Yehuda know that he's Neman to say he's a mamzer? He learns it from the word Yakir, which he, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, says Yakir isn't just that he recognizes him as the before, but the Torah empowers him to designate his status, whether he's a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, or even a Mamzer, he has a koach to do that. So the Gemara says, well, what do the Chachamim do with the word Yakir? Because I don't need him to tell me that he's a Bechor, because everybody knows he's a Bechor. So the Gemara says, no, let's say he came from France, he'll need to declare that he's a Bechor. Nobody knows he's a Bechor. Yeah, but even there, what do we need? What din do I need that he's a Bechor? If it's Pishnayim, so Migo, that he could give the property whoever he wants to right now, so certainly he's Naaman to say that he's a Bechor to get Pishnayim. So the Gemara says, no, I need the Yakir to tell me that his statement carries a lachic weight even for properties that he acquires after the statement is made. So later acquired properties, I can't transfer things. In other words, I have a Migo with property I have right now, but property I acquire later on, I don't have a Migo with. So, but then the Gemara says that, yeah, but according to Rameyer, Adam is Machna Dabar Shul Bali Olam. Yeah, but even the Tana Rameyer would say, the things that you acquire when you're a goseis, that you can't transfer over. So property that he would acquire when he's a goseis, that I need the Yakir for, according to the Chachamim. All right? All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Okay. Let me just wrap this up for a second. Hold it.